Recording. Okay, so we're on Daftzadi Zion today, and I hope everybody can find us because I see a lot of people are missing. I hope they got the emails and stuff, but I'm glad you're all here. So, I'll begin on the third very wide line. Sadi Zion Amud Aleph 97A, the third very wide line. So it says Amarish Lakish Hachoshe Bikshirim Lo Kebegufo. If a person suspects innocent people of wrongdoing, he gets stricken in his body. And the quote from the Chasam Sofer that normally God starts off with your property and then gets to the body. Here, when you're Choshe B'Ksheirim, you go straight to the body. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a tie into a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hashem says, I have a mission for you. I want you to go speak to the Jews, redeem them. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'hein lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'koli. They're not going to listen to me. And they'll say, lo nirai lach Hashem. Hashem didn't appear to you. So he says, V'gal yikami kutcha bruchu d'mehem ne Yisrael. But Hashem knew that Klal Yisrael would believe them. So Amar lo, so Kaddish Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hein ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Find a kind of famous phrase, right? A song. He says, the Jews, they're ma'aminim, the sons of ma'aminim. We're on the fifth very wide line in Sadi Zayin Amad Aleph. So he says, they're ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. V'yata ein sof kal ha'amin. You know who's not a ma'amin? You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not a ma'amin. He says, Hein ma'aminim d'chti v'yamein ha'am. Their ma'aminim, it says that people believe, it's quoting a pasuk, b'nei ma'aminim b'hamin b'Hashem. It says by Avram Avinu that Avram Avinu, so their ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, they're descendants of Avram Avinu. Atah in sofcha l'hamin, you, I see, you know, going forward, that you are not going to believe in the future. Shenem or yan lo hemantim b'vigomer. It says by the May Meriva in Parshat Chukat, which is just coming up in a few weeks, that that you didn't believe in me, that you hit the rock or whatever the Avera was, but you didn't have emuna in me. He says, Vigomer. Umimai delakas, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was stricken in his guf? That's what he said, your choshed b'ksherim, which Moshe Rabbeinu did. Where do we see that he was stricken? Dechtiv, v'yomer Hashem lo, od haveina yadcha b'cheikecha v'gomer. So he gives them signs to show Klal Yisrael, but one of the signs is that he gets sarad on a portion of his body. And so that's how he was loke. All right, now let me just do. We're on around the 10th very wide line on Sadi Zion Amud Aleph. Okay, welcome, Mayor. I don't know if you need the mask for Daf Yomi, but nice to have you. All right, so the and Yosef, would be nice to see you, Yosef, and Malka. I like to see more than your scalp. Okay, let's take a look. Thank you, Malka. Thank you. Getting a little bit better, a little bit lower. All right, now. Now we're at the two dots on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph around the 10th, well, very wide line. I'm a Rav of Yitim Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina.
Sal is here.
No, Baruch Haba Sal. I just saw Sal at Mincha Maariv this afternoon, but it was nice to have you, Sal. It's a kavod, and we're all very pleased that you're here with us, and we continue to wish you a refuah shleima. Berger Daf Yomi is not the same without Sal Berger. It's nice to have you both. Okay, so now the Gemara says we're on the 10th line on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, the 10th wide line from the top on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rav B'Tim Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Mida Tova M'maheret Lavo M'midat Puranot, that when Hashem is giving something good, it happens with greater alacrity than when Hashem is imposing punishment. He says, the Ilu B'midat Puranot Dikhtiv, in the same incident where Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a sign he's going to show to Klal Yisrael, but Hashem demonstrates the sign, so he takes out his hand and it has saras on it. He says, "Ve'ilu b'mida tova k'tiv ve'yotzia mecheko." And the word mecheko is an extra word, didn't appear the first time around. "Ve'yotzia mecheko." So in other words, he takes out his hand, he's got saras. Then he puts the hand back in. "Ve'yotzia mecheko." It returned back to the way the flesh should learn. So the Gemara says, Mecheko who deshava, bibsaro. In other words, so Chazal understand that when it was already, like, Mecheko was like his breast, his bosom, when it was already in, it already turned to be better. In other words, so the bad, when it's out, but the good is like even before he brings it out, it turns good. Okay, now just one more statement, then we'll go. So again, another one of the nisim that happened is that like Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron, shlach, you know, at Marcha, behid the tanin, send forth, in other words, you want to demonstrate to Paro your bona fides, so tell Aaron to throw forth his staff, and the staff will turn into a tanin, to a serpent. So he did that. And the Chartumim Mitzrayim, the Chartumim in Egypt, they set forth their staffs, and they were also able to turn into Tanidim. Then, this is not like the Cecil B. DeMille movie. So the Pasuk says, that the staff of Aaron swallowed them up. So Chazal teach us that after it had returned to being a staff, it swallowed up the other serpents. He says, Amr Blazar Nes Betoch Nes. Rav Blazar says it's a miracle within a miracle. It was the one miracle that is turning into a snake. But then the other miracle, even when it returned back to a staff, it ate the other ones up. Again, it's not like the Cecil B. DeMille movie. Okay, they didn't have rabbis apparently consulting with them on that movie. All right. Now, all right, that's it for the vacation. Now we're back to Masechet Shabbat. Okay, so any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yeah, what was the point of that digression?
I don't know. It's the Mefarshim speak about it. Lachor, it's not connected. I don't know what the point is. All right, now, again, so if you remember, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says if you throw something from Rishud Yachid to Rishud Yachid, from one private domain to another private domain, through the Rishus HaRabim, so Rabbi Akiva says you're Chayev, and the Chachamim say you're not Chayev. All right? Now, there's going to be different ways that we can understand this Machloket. And then the Mishnah quoted, just to give a synopsis, the Mishnah quoted that if you have, so the way I explained it yesterday, we're talking about the first case is two patios on opposite sides of the street. And the first way we did it, it was below 10 tefachim. Then we learned that if it's above 10 tefachim, you have both patios on the same side of the street. So in the Mishkan, there was a malach of Hoshata, the Levium, the Bnei Merari would stretch forth and put the krashim in the next wagon. We said the wagons were lined up 2-2. So that, everybody agrees, is a malacha deraisa, even though it's going from Rishud Yachid to Rishud Rabim with Rishud Rabim Be'emsa, because the wagons are Rishud Rabim and there's a space between the wagons. So Hoshata is definitely Chayev, but there's a question with Zrika, whether I can extrapolate Zrika from that. So the end of the Mishnah says I cannot. So if I throw it on the same side of the street, I'm not Chayev. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. So by Rabba, poses the following question. Rabba is going to have two ways to understand the Machloket, two ways to understand our Mishnah. And again, I just want to say that, you know, when it comes to Hotza'ah, I think, in other words, again, we learned that the Bali Tosfot would call it a malacha grua, an inferior malacha, but as as a corollary to that, I think Hotza'ah has the most conceptual, you know, distinctions in all the malachot. In other words, like with Hotza'ah, you have, you know, it's not what you're doing to the object, because the object remains the same. So you have all this like conceptual frameworks to understand what is going from one rishus to another, what's the hischaivus or not, which really explains why there's so many dapim in the Masechta devoted to Hotza'ah. I think there's more dapim devoted to Hotza'ah than any other malacha. If you would ask somebody, which malacha do you think, if they don't study Masechet Shabbos, they think, you know, cooking or something like that, but it's not that way. It's Hotza'ah is the one with the most. So let's see back in the Gemara. So by Rabba, Lamata Me'asara, please. Rabba would pose the question, is the machloket Lamata Me'asara below 10 tefachim, Uvaha plegi? The machloket would be as follows. Demar Savar Minun Kluta Kamasha Huncha, that Rabbi Akiva will hold, if somebody's Kluta, and again, we said the Rishus HaRabim goes up to 10 Tefachim, if I'm throwing it through the Rishus HaRabim below 10 Tefachim, so the object is totally enveloped by the Rishus HaRabim, the air of the Rishus HaRabim, so that's Kamisha Huncha. So according to the Tana Rabbi Akiva, it's as if it came to rest in the Rishus HaRabim. He says, and the Umar Savar, Lower Minun Kluta Kamasha Huncha, and the Chamim hold, we don't say that. So you're not chayiv. You're just going from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid. So on a derice level, if I'm transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid, I don't do a malacha. Aval lamala me'asara. But if it's lamala me'asara, lamala me'asara is the case when everything's on the same side of the street, but it's higher than 10 tefachim. He says divrei akol patur. Everybody holds. If you're zorek lamala me'asara, even Rabbi Akiva. I'm on the patios on the same side of the street. Think of Middle Neck Road. Think of, let's say you have, you know, two apartment houses opposite one another Middle Neck Road, and then two apartment houses on the same side of Middle Neck Road. So when it's on the opposite side below 40 tefachim, so you're going to be chayiv, because it's according to Rabbi Akiva, because klutik mashahuncha on the same side of the street, lamala me'asaret tefachim. So for hoshata, for extending, you're going to be chayev, because that was a malacha in the Mishkan. That's what they stretched forth the ksharim, the krashim from one wagon to another, going over the rishus harabim, you're chayev for that. But he says, but zrika, everybody holds, you're patur. So, you know, I looked today in the Masivta Gemara, they mentioned from the Sfas Emes, he says that's a big difference between kluta. In other words, when it's below 10 tefachim, kluta is anywhere. So it's kluta, so it's kamisha huncha, no matter where I'm going. But in terms of you know, zrika and hoshata, we're only talking about the same, if it's lamala me'asara, so then we're only talking about the same side of the street. All right, now that's one way to understand the Mishnah. So the way that would be, so then the second part of the Mishnah would be Aliba de Kuli Alma. So when the second part of the Mishnah said, again, the Mishnah is somewhat ambiguous, right? The Mishnah just says that you threw from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is Be'emsa. The Mishnah doesn't tell me that it's going across the Rosh Hashanah, in front of the Rosh Hashanah, but the way, the first way is going, that's talking about across the street, but Lamata Me'asar Tzvachim. So then Rabbi Akiva's Mechayev and the Chachamim are Poter. But on the same side of the street, we have Machloket. But on the same side of the street, there is no Machloket, and that's the end of the Mishnah. So if I extend it over to the other patio, I'm Chayev. If I throw it, I'm Patur. Okay, that's one way to learn. Now, let's just do one. We're not going to extrapolate the case of Zorek on the same side of the street, Lamala Me'asara, from Moshe. Odilma, or possibility number two, another way to understand the Machloket in the Mishnah. Odilma, Lamala Me'asara, Pligi. Maybe the Machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama and the Chachamim is Lamala Me'asara. When you say Lamala Me'asara, we mean on the same side of the street, meaning Uvaha Pligi, the Mar Safari Yofin and Zorek Mimoshe, meaning the machloket, again, I explained it the first way last night, okay, and we just did the first way. There's a different way to understand it. So the Gemara wants to say that when it says that you're going, extending from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah and Be'emtza, your Zorek, it's talking about on the same side of the street. In other words, I'm on the same side of Middle Neck Road. I'm in one patio, which is Rosh Hashanah, or one porch, and then there's another porch, you know, in the same building. So I throw my ball from one to the other. So there, that could be the machloket. So Rabbi Akiva, in this version, says that I'm chayiv for Zorek, even though it's lamala me'asara, even though it's above 10 tefachim, and we see the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim does not go that high, I'm nevertheless chayiv. He says, yafin and Zorek mimoshit, because I'm going to extrapolate out. I know in the Mishkan that the Leviim extended the krashim over, and it was above 10 tefachim, above the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and we know that's a malacha. So two Zorek is not so much different, so I'm going to learn that way. Umar Savar Lo Yolfin and Zorek Mimoshid. But, and the other side, which is the Chachamim, said we can't learn Zorek from Moshid. They're two distinct, they're two different. Aval Lamata Me'asara, but Lamata Me'asara, which is across the street, you know, Lamata Me'asara, Divrei Kol Chayiv, everybody will hold him Chayiv. Everybody will hold that Kluta Kamisha Huncha. He says, "My tama kluta kamasha huncha damya." Now I'm explaining it one way. Not everybody agrees that everybody will hold kluta kamasha huncha damya, but I'm going to say everybody will hold kluta kamasha huncha damya. All right. Any questions about what we did so far? Okay, let's keep moving. All right. So now I'm around 15 lines down on the wide lines on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. So we have two ways to understand our Mishnah. So let's see further. So. Amar of Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, Hamilta Ibaile the Rav Chista. He says, this issue was bothering Rav Chista. Rav Chista himself was Masupak, what the Machloket was. Again, the Mishnah is very terse. The Mishnah, you know, is like all the Mishnayot, all the Brises, they're very terse, and many details are left over. So here, the Amoraim themselves were not so clear on what the Machloket was. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hamilta Ibaile the Rav Chista, he was bothered, what's the Pshat? Upashtani Heli Rav Hamnuna Meha. Rav Hamnuna was able to resolve his question from the following Brisa. Now, again, we're learning a Brisa, and the Brisa itself is not so clear, so you have to be patient with it. Sometimes, you know, you literally read a line in the Gemara, you don't understand it right away, you got to give it in a few more lines. You have to wait a little bit. I'm just mentioning it, Fern. Okay, now, let's take a look. Okay, I saw the facial expression. I read your face. I read your thoughts. Okay, now, let's take a look. Now, the Gemara says, If a person transfers an object, and we don't know how, when, or what, or why, a person transfers an object from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid through the Rishus HaRabim Atzma, Rishus HaRabim Atzma. Rabbi Kiva Machayev Chachamim Potrim. Midakam Rishus HaRabim Atzma, Pshit Lamata Me'asara Pligi. So since it says Rishus HaRabim Atzma, the Rishus HaRabim itself, it's clear that we're talking about, whatever we're talking about is Lamata Me'asara Tfachim, lower than 10 Tfachim. He says, Uvamai, and what's the case? Ilaim b'mavir l'mata me'asara hu d'mechayev. If we're going to say that Rabbi Akiva is only mechayev b'mavir, carrying, if I just like carrying, I got something in my pocket, whatever, that's the case he's doing. He says l'mala me'asara lo mechayev, and then above 10 tefachim he says you're not chayev. He says v'ha'amar reblaz, in other words, in terms of carrying, just you're holding on to it or you're carrying it on your shoulder. He says v'ha'amar reblaz motzi masu l'mala me'asara. We had this earlier on Daf Tzadi Beis. Remember when we were discussing how tall Levi'im were, and somebody said, Robert was questioning how tall Moshe Rabbeinu was. Anyway, so we said that if you carry something above 10 tefachim in the Rishus HaRabim, you are a chayiv. That's a given, even though it's above 10 tefachim. So it means the 10 tefachim mark is not the be-all and end-all. So he says here, it can't be the pshat in the brisa where, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying you're going through Rishus HaRabim Atzma, you're chayiv. So it means that if you're not going through Rishus HaRabim Atzma, you're patur. It can't be that you're carrying the object, because there, vada, he'd hold your chayiv in both. Elalav bizorek. Is it not that the Bryce is talking about a person who throws an object? He's throwing the object from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. He says, Ulamata me'asar hu d'mechayev. In Rishus HaRabim Atzma, he's throwing the object within 10 tefachim. Lamala me'asar lo mechayev. Shmamina bekluta k'masho hun chaplihi shmamina. So the Gemara says from that Bryce, Rav Hamnuna wants to adduce a proof, right? That's Rav Hamnuna who's the one who taught the Bryce. So Rav Hamnuna wants to deduce a proof that the machloket is the first way, that lamata me'asar is the machloket. In other words, so the machloket in Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is when I throw an object through the Rishus HaRabim, lamata me'asar tefachim. And Rabbi Akiva holds kluta k'masha huncha, that if it's surrounded, it's as if it came to rest, and the Chachamim don't hold that. But if it's lamala me'asar, above 10 tefachim, on the same side of the street, everybody agrees you're chayav for Moshed and you're patur for Zorek. You're above 10 tefachim. Okay, that everybody agrees with. That's the first way we learn. Okay, and then again, according to that way, the second half of the Mishnah that we did on Sadi Baba Min Aleph will be according to everybody. And when we said the words following Ketzah, that will be according to everybody. Now, the Gemara said, even though we have this proof from Rav Hamnuna, the Gemara says, Upliga de Reb Lazar. This Hezber is in contradistinction with Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar is another Amara. So he does not agree with Rav Hamnuna. He says, the Amar Reb Lazar, Mechayve Rabbi Akiva, Afilu Mala Me'asara. In other words, Reb Lazar is looking at the same Braisa that Rav Hamnuna deduced. And he says, I don't understand the Braisa the way you did, Rav Hamnuna. He says, I think that Rabbi Akiva is Mechayev even Lamala Me'asara. When Rabbi Akiva says you're Chayev from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, even if it's above 10 Tefachim, even on the same side of the street, you're Chayev, because he's learning Zorek from Moshe. He says, so if that's the case, so how does he explain like the language? The language says Rishus HaRabim Atzma, like in the Rishus HaRabim itself, that sounds like less than 10 Tefachim. So he says, V'hai dekatani Rishus HaRabim Atzma, the fact that the Braisa says Rishus HaRabim itself, he says, Lo diacha kochan d'rabanan. That's to show, and this is what you were saying, Libby, the other day, right? Is the kochan is either leniency or the stringency. It's showing the leniency of the Chachamim that even when it's below 10 Tefachim, they say you're patur. Now this, the Hezber that we just gave, is a little different than anything we had before. Now, we had two tzadim before, right? Either the machloket was lamata me'asara, or the machloket is lamala me'asara. This is a third way, because according to this explanation, Rabbi Akiva holds you're always chayev, whether it's lamata me'asara or lamala me'asara. Rabbi Akiva says you're chayev if you throw the ball across the street, lamata me'asara, and if you throw the ball lamala me'asara on the same street, you're also chayev. And the chachamim hold you're always patur. That's not like either one of the cases we learned before. That's, and it was earlier before we said that you're chayiv in one case, you're pater in another. Here, the mechayiv says you're chayiv in both cases. The one who's poter holds you're pater in both cases. So this is a third way to understand the machloket. Okay, now the Gemara says, upligid Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi. This is in contradistinction to another opinion of Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi, which is a fourth way to understand the machloket. Dama Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi, tok shlasha divrei kol chayav. If something is transferred or within three tefachim of the ground, everybody agrees it's like munach on the ground. Within three tefachim of the ground is resting on the ground. So if I throw the object within three tefachim of the ground, everybody's going to say I'm chayiv, according to Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi. He says lamalami asara divrei kol patur. Above asara, everybody hold your patur, means on the same side of the street, everybody holds patur. Mishlosha v'yarasara, banal machloket Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. The machloket is when I throw something between three tefachim and ten tefachim. He says, that's according to Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi. He says, so the thing that Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi is adding, this idea that within three tefachim the ground, everybody will agree it's like resting on the ground. And this gets us into the concept of labod. Labod is when you're within three tefachim of the ground, or in different cases, we consider it part of the ground. Okay, just 1 minute. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a braisa that supports Rav Chilkiya Bartuvi. It says, Betok Shlosha Devriya Kol Chayav. The braisa is mefurash, that within three tefachim of the ground, everybody agrees you be chayav. So I'm throwing the ball from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim. Somehow it's very hard to throw it within three tefachim, but I managed to throw it within three tefachim. So everyone will hold on chayiv. L'malam yasara einam l'mishum shvut. Now, if I throw it above 10 tefachim on the same side of the street, so everybody agrees that on a derice level it's permissible, but it's only prohibited on a derabanan level because I'm throwing something from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, and it's above 10 tefachim. So everybody's going to agree. So all I did was transfer from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, right? So everybody agrees that I could do that on Dereisa level, but just Rabbanan is prohibited. V'imayu Rishuyot Shalom Mutar. If both Rishuyot belong to me, belong to the same person, the Tana Brice says it's permissible. So in other words, if I throw an object from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, even though there's Rishus HaRabim Be'emtza, but if they both belong to the same person, so we're learning that it's permissible. That's what he wants to say. Now, he says, Mishlosha V'yarasara, which is 1 minute, wait a minute, hold on, just wait till I pause, okay? Okay, just wait a few minutes. Now, I just want to get to the tudas. Just think of the thought, or else take out a piece of paper and write out the question, okay? Mishlosha v'yarasara, from three tefachim to ten tefachim, he says, Rabbi Akiva mechayev v'chachamim potrim. Rabbi Akiva says, you're chayev, chachamim say you're patur. Now, Amar Mar, now we said before, imayu reshuyot shalom mutar, if the reshuyot all belong to him, it's permissible. So we're saying that I could throw an object from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid if they both belong to me. That's what it's saying. He says, Lema tebeti of the derav. So should we say this is a kasha against Rav? De Idmar was stated, Shnei batim b'shnei tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Let's say I have two houses on opposite sides of the Rishus HaRabim. Rababar Rav Huna Marav Asur L'Zrok Mizel Zeh. Rav says I can't throw from one Rishus to another Rishus. Shmuel says I have a green light to throw from one to the other. Now, since Shmuel says I have a green light to do this, we assume the case is that I own both houses. So let's say Reuven owns both a house on one side of the street of Middle Neck Road, and he owns a house on the other side of Middle Neck Road, and both houses are surrounded by a fence and a Rishus HaYachid. So we're learning that Shmuel says I could throw from one to the other, obviously, and then Rav says not. So the question is, if the Tana the Braisa says, if the same person owns the two Rishuyos, I have a green light to do it, that's the Tana the Braisa, how can Rav be cholik with this? Rav says, I don't have a green light to do it. So the Gemara says, V'lav miyu kimna lahi. So the Gemara says, didn't we say that what the Braisa is talking about, this machloket between, I mean, Rav really holds, all things being equal, I own both sides, he would agree I could do it. But what's the case in the Braisa? Lav miyu kimna lahi. Kigon demidlichad umetatechad. That one was higher and one was lower. In other words, they're not on the same, I want to throw, let's say, from the roof of one house to the other. So they have flat roofs. So I'm on one roof and I'm throwing to the other roof. So one roof is, let's say, 20 feet higher than the other roof, or one roof is 20 feet lower than the other roof. So whichever one I'm throwing from, it's a more complicated throw, right? It's much harder to throw something to land it lower, high, or whatever. That's a more difficult throw. So he says, so in that case, Rav is concerned that maybe it will land in the Rishus HaRabim, and I'll come to carry in the Rishus HaRabim. I want to get the object from, you know, my first home to my second home. But Rav is concerned if one is higher, one's lower, so there's a good likelihood it's going to end up on the ground in the Rishus HaRabim, and then I'm going to be so involved with this, I'm going to just come and carry it, because I want to get it from point A to point B. But in Hachinami, had they been the same level, even Rav would agree, if I own both, that I'm allowed to do this. All right, now... All right, now, okay, let's pause for a second, and we'll take some questions now. All right, before we do the questions, though, wait, let's just summarize. Let's just think what we did. Let's think over what we did. Okay, now, so we had four ways to understand the Machloket in the Mishnah, four ways to understand the Machloket. Just get the main concepts, you know, even if you don't remember every detail about all four ways, if you just remember there's a concept, Kluta Kamasha Huncha, you know, and then three Tfachim in the ground, and those concepts will hold you throughout Shabbat. Even if you don't remember every detail. Okay, so the first sad is that the machloket is within 10 tefachim of the ground. I'm throwing a ball from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim. So there's a machloket between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. And if that's the machloket, it will turn on the issue. Everybody has to mute themselves. I have extra noise here. Let me help you out a little bit, okay? Okay, so the... So Rabbi Kiva holds Kluta Kamasha Huncha. If it's surrounded by the Rishus, it's like resting in the Rishus. And the Chachamim say, no, they don't hold from Kluta. But if it's on Lamala Meyasara is a code on the same side of the street, above 10 Tefachim, so then everybody holds Amchaya from Moshit, where I extend something out from one to the other. But Zorek, everybody holds on Patur. That's one way to understand it. Okay, then. Case two. I don't have like all those things they do in the movies, you know, like tape two. So tape two is that Lamata Meyasara, everybody agrees you'll be chayev. Everybody agrees from Kluta Kamasha Huncha. But the machloket is, do I say Zorek Lamala Meyasara? So I'm throwing above 10 tefachim on the same side of the street. Am I chayev or not? Rabbi Kiva says, in that case, yes, I'm chayev. I'm going to learn Zorek from Hoshata. Levim, remember, they extended themselves, they took the beams and they from one wagon to the other, that I'm definitely chayav for. Yekiba says it's not just an extension to say for Zorek that I'm also chayav for. All right? Then the third way we had to understand the machloket was that the machloket is double-sided, that the Chachamim hold, that Rabbi Kiva holds, I'm chayav in both instances. In other words, Lamata me'asara, I'm chayav because of Kalot, and Lamala me'asara, I'm chayav, I'm learning Zorek from Moshit, and the Chachamim Pater in both cases. They don't hold from Kalot, and they don't hold from learning Zorek from Moshit. Okay, that's another way to learn. Then the fourth way we had to learn is sort of like a tweak on the first way, that if it's Lamata me'shlosh tefachim, everybody will agree I'm chayav. If I throw a ball, you know, from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid within three tefachim in the ground, it's very difficult to do that because Rishus HaRabim is 16 amot across. But if you could do that, so everybody will agree I'm chayev. And above 10 tefachim, everybody will agree I'm patur across the street. But between 3 and 10 tefachim, that's the machloket. Okay, now time for questions, comments, and thoughts. Go.
A couple of questions.
All right. Malka's, I think, got in first, then I'll get you, Fern. What's up, Malka?
So my question is that you have to own both properties.
Well, I can't hear you. Malka, I can't hear you so clearly. Can you come closer to the speaker?
Yeah, it's not, I don't know why I'm not hearing you either. You have to own both properties, and it has to go through Rishut HaRabim,
No, I don't know what that means, you have to own both.
You throw from one property to the next, you own both properties.
No. That's not what I said. So we had the first cases, I didn't mention anything about owning both properties. We said, though, that if I do own both properties, then there's a tzad to say that I'm allowed to transfer from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid if I own both properties. So Rav and Shmuel both agree that if I throw something, let's say I throw it across the street from, and it's Lamala Me'asara, so then they both agree that I'm allowed to do that on Shabbat because I'm just transferring from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, which is my Rishus HaYachid. So on a Torah level, I certainly could do it, even if I don't own the sin, it's not mine, but on a derabbanan, but derabbanan level is prohibited. In other words, they're just saying, you don't even need this, it's just a rabbin business. The idea is, like, we're going to have an ex-mesechta with Eruvin, that the Chachamim created situations where you have to do an Eruve Chatzerot. Can you lower the camera? I can't stand seeing just your scalp.
I know, but if I have to be near it, I have to...
All right, whatever you can. Okay. Anyway, okay. So the idea is, let's say they're next door to one another. Let's say I have one Rishus Yachid, which is fenced around, and I own another property right next to me, which is fenced around. So you cannot hear me? Can everybody else?
No, I couldn't hear you before.
Can you hear me
now?
Now
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say I have one property which is fenced, and next door I have another property which is fenced, and I own both. So let's say I don't own both. I don't own both. So I'm not allowed to transfer from one to another. In other words, if Reuven owns property A, Shimon owns property B, I'm not allowed to take a ball from property A to property B.
There's no Rishut HaRabim.
Yeah, right. The Rishut HaRabim is going to make it more complicated. Let's make it simple. Okay. But if I own both properties, then I'm allowed to transfer from property A to property B. That's what we're saying. Now, there's a tweak on this with Rishus HaRabim Be'emtza. We're mentioning, if they're across the street, so that's what Rob and Shmuel were saying. If I throw the ball across the street, so it could be they're holding, well, I don't know what they're holding by Kluta, but if I throw it, Lamala Me'asara, if I told them throw it above 10 Tfachim, so if I own both properties, they're saying, I'm allowed to do that because it's Lamala Me'asara and I own both properties. I could transfer from one to another. All right, what's up, Fern?
Why does owning both properties change that when it goes to
Because
the Rabin?
Are they being
one another?
Remember, it relates to the idea. Remember, remember you went from Erevin. Bizman Chazal, the people would live in yards. Let's say I'm sharing the yard with you, right? Even though I share the yard with you and it's surrounded by a fence, if I can transfer from one to another, It looks like Hotzan Shabbat. People don't understand what's going on. It looks like I'm taking from one rishus to another because you're here, I'm here, we share the same property. So it's the same idea. Like here, in other words, here I have one rishus yachid, you have another rishus yachid. People don't understand all the nuances with this, and they'll come to carry. All right, now.
But how do they know that I own the other rishus yachid across the street?
That I don't know. I guess they.
That was one question.
Yeah. What's up? What's next?
Okay, not satisfied.
Yeah, but wait. Let's go back. So when we make an Eruv, we're making it one Rishus. Here, if I own the properties, it is one Rishus. You know what I mean? Like, how
but
do
you
I know?
Have the Rishut HaRabim in between.
Yeah, but I'm saying, let's go back. So how do people know I made an Eruv? In other words, like, people will understand I made an Eruv. I guess people will understand that I own both. That's the best I got with it. Okay, what else do you have?
What is the real significance of a Mekom Patur if it's the subject of these Machlokot between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim?
In other words,
you have the idea of Hoshata in the Mishkan,
right.
But you also have a concept of Mekom Patur.
Right.
So one does not trump the other, according to Rabbi Akiva?
Which part is the Mekom Patur that you're focused on? Which part are you talking
about? Above the 10 Tfachim.
You mean across the street, right. So that's what the Torah prescribes, that it's Mekom Patur. What can I tell you? That's what the Torah...
So then why does Rabbi Akiva not hold by it for Hoshata?
No. Again, with you mean because Lamala Me'asara. Yeah,
right.
So it means like this, that in the Mishkan, we know the Levium, that's what they would do. They would transfer the Krashim. And in Achinami, they transferred it over the Rishus HaRabim. And in Achinami, it was Lamala Me'asara. Notwithstanding with that, it's still a Malach on Shabbos. So clearly, we're viewing it as prohibited, even though you're going from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, since the Rishus HaRabim is Be'emtza, we view that as a malacha. You're right, it is the Malame Asara, but it has the template of a malacha. I don't know what to say. It's a little bit similar.
So the Mekom Patur has limitations.
Right. Well,
it's really what we're saying.
Well, under these circumstances, it's similar to what we had before. The Gemara itself quoted that a person is, you know, like, if a, remember the Reb Lazar we just had in the Gemara, that if a person walks, carries in the Rishus HaRabim, Lamala Me'asara, like I carry something on my shoulder, Dalet Amos the Rishus HaRabim, above 10 Tfachim, I'm Chayiv for Hotza'ah, even though I'm carrying it above 10 tefachim. So, you know, I was talking to Rabbi Eli Belazon. He's teaches at YU. He's a rabbi in Fairlawn. He was saying that's the way people carry in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I don't know what more to say. That's the best I got. Okay. Let's go on. All right. Bruchatahi. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, now we're 10 lines from the bottom on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay, Yosef, you focused? Okay, let's take a look. Okay, I get to see you, Yosef. I see where you're looking, where you're focused. Okay, now, and nice to have you, Aaron Moshe, as well. All right, let's see. David, how you doing tonight, David? I never see you. I just see the fog. David, are you there? David Jacob? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so... Okay. Amrli Rav Chisla Rav Hamnuna, Amrli La Rav Hamnuna Rav Chisla. So there's a conversation between Rav Chisla and Rav Hamnuna, and it's not clear who's doing the speaking, who's doing the listening. But either way, Menah Miltadam Rabbanan Kol Pachot Mishlosha Kalavadami. So we mentioned the idea that when I throw something within three tefachim of the ground in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, everybody agrees I'm chayev, that I view that as resting in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That hooks into the idea of lavud. Lavud is when I'm in three tefachim, so it's like closed up, it's like part of it. So that's one part is like within three tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Another part is when you have mechitzot, you know, that it's closed within when it's in three tefachim. So that's called lavud. So he says, where do we know this from? Where do you know the din of lavud? So Amar Leil Lefisha Eif Sharla LeRishut Rabim Sheitz LaKate B'MlaKate For Hitney. He says, look, the Rishus Rabim is going to have different mounds in it. It's not going to be like flat, like a flat parking lot, you know, or you know, it's not going to look like what's the, like a or like a like a like an airport runway. It's not going to be flat like an airport runway. It's going to have different mounds and things like that. So the Gemara says, and nevertheless, it's still considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Shloshanami, if that's the Svara, so the Gemara figures that even when the mound is exactly three tefachim, should also be included. Now, I don't know where they get the shear of three tefachim, but the Gemara wants to say that the three tefachim should also be included in this din, but it's not. It has to be less than three tefachim. The two haditnan, in addition to which we learn in the Mishnah, hamishal shel tefanot milamal lamata. So I would have said lowering the curtains, like you're building a sukkah. Rashi says you're weaving the curtains. So I'm weaving the curtains on a sukkah, and I'm going from the top to the bottom. He says, imhim gavon min ha'arish shoshat tefachim psula. So if I get within three, above three, in other words, I'm closing the walls of the sukkah. I'm going from the top to the bottom. If the walls don't reach three tefachim, it's not kosher wall. He says, ha'pachot mishlosha k'shera. So we can deduce this. If it's less than three tefachim, it's good. So he says, so that doesn't seem to have to do anything with leveling mounds in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's nevertheless, that's another application of lavud. So the Gemara says, ha'tam ha'inu tam. The reason that is the din, mishum dehavi lamechitza shekadim bokim ba. That's the, if it's more than three tefachim from the ground, it's a mechitza that the gedayim, the kids, the animal kids, can poke through. So the Gemara says that's what that is. So the Gemara says tenech lamata lamalamei iklamemar. So that works well in that case, but I have situations where, let's say, I put ropes like less than three tefachim from the ground, then a second rope, then a third rope. So the ropes, in essence, in our sukkah and the shul, that's what we do on sukkahs. We have those bands that go around the walls, which are really the walls because the flaps, you know, flap a lot. So we want to have, you know, the kosher walls. So that svara about gedayim bokimbo would not apply to the upper bands. Gedayim bokimbo is like you have a space on the bottom. But here we're applying the klal to close the gaps even higher up. He says... And then also, let's say I have a wall, and the wall is, let's say the wall is going up the sukkah, and the wall is more than three tefachim from the roof, from the schach, it's also I run into a problem. So how do I, so I can't say that the gedid, that the kid, let's say I have a sukkah, the sukkah is 8 feet tall, and I have a top of the sukkah between the wall and the schach more than three tefachim. I have a space there. So am I going to say that's not kosher because the gedayim or bokimbo? Because the kids get to go, then the gedayim don't go like 8 feet up in the air. So what's going on with that? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, you're right. The emes is that the whole din of lavud is halakha l'moshe mi-Sinai. We know halakha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that when I have less than three tfakim, I'm entitled to close the gaps. I view it as a closed gap. And the same thing with the Rishus HaRabim. It's less than three tfakim, it's considered part of the ground. Okay, now let me just do a few lines and I'll pause. Tan Rabbanan. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Mirushita Rabbin, Mirushita Rabbin, Mirushita Yachid Be'emtza. So this is the opposite case that we had before. So the daf today, we started off going from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, which is a Rabbin in the middle. Now we have just the opposite. I have Rishusa Rabbim and Rishusa Rabbim and Rishusa Yachid in the middle. He says, Rebbe Mechayev Achachamim Potrim. Rebbe says, you're Chayev if I throw the ball from one Rishusa Rabbim to another Rishusa Rabbim through the Rishusa Yachid. Rebbe is Mechayev me from transferring from the Rishusa Rabbim to the Rishusa Yachid. He says, and the Chamim Poter. So Rabbi Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Lochiev Rebbe, Ella, Rishusa Yachid Makura. So here, Rebbe is only mechayev if the Rishus Yachid is covered. To be Rishus Yachid doesn't have to have a roof. I have a covered Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara takes it that the Rishus HaYachid is so covered, filled with objects. We view it sort of like, again, it's a concept. We view it as like a solid object. So when I throw my ball, I have this house. The house has got a roof on it. I'm on the Rishus HaRabim. Another Rishus HaRabim on the other side. I throw the ball and it goes through this Rishus HaYachid, this house with the roof, and it has objects in it. So I view the house as being totally filled with objects, and I'm entitled to view the object as resting in the Rishus HaYachid. So he says, Dimrinan beta kaman damal yadami. I see the house is totally filled up. Aval she'ena makura lo. But if it's not covered over, then Rebbe would not say I'm chayiv in that case. So Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, so Rav Chana said, and quoted the Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, Mechayev HaRebbe Shtayim. Then when Rebbe says you're chayiv in that case, you're chayiv for, where's David? Are you here tonight, David Jacob? David? All right. Well, anyway, David had asked me about this the other night. I can't hear him. But
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So David, so the Gemara is, it's one line, the bottom line in Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. You know, I wish I could see you, David, but the the Gemara is saying that if I'm throwing from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Rabim, Rishus Yachid in the middle, so Rebbe says I'm Chayev. So the Gemara says Rebbe says I'm Chayev for doing two Malachot. We'll see in a minute. Chayev Shtabi, Achat Mishum Hotzah. One is Hotzah from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, Achat Mishum Achnasa. That's going from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid. Okay, so. So again, so there's Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid in the middle. I take the ball, I throw the ball through the house, which has a roof on it. Rebbe says, I'm Chayev. And the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, when Rebbe says, I'm Chayev, means I'm Chayev Shtayim, I'm Chayev two Korbanot Chatat, if I forgot that I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbat. So Yatib Rav Chana, V'Kakashle. So Rav Chana is the one who quoted this, the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, and he was bothered by this. So he quoted it from his Rebbe, but he was bothered with it. Turn page on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis. So he says, "Lameimra de mechayev Rebbe atoldo b'makomav." So if Rebbe says I'm chayev two korbanot chatat, so the only logical explanation is that Rebbe holds I'm chayev for toldo b'makomav. That means because hotzah is the av and achnasa is the tolda. So here I'm doing two malacho, but one's an av, one's a tolda, and I did it both in one helei makad. I threw the ball. I forgot that I'm allowed to do that on Shabbat, and in Achinami I did two acts of one, an act of hotzah, an act of hachnasa. But that sounds like Rebbe holds, like normally the mainstream thinking is I'm not chayav for a tolda makamav. If I do the tolda and I do the av, remember that's the case. I plant the seed, I water the seeds on Shabbos, so I do two malachot, but if I forgot I'm not allowed to do it on Shabbos, I'm only chayav one korban chatat. Right, Robert? So the Gemara here is saying, so apparently, but Rebbe here, according to the way Rosh Shmuel, is saying that he's chayav a tolda makamav. He says, Vahatani, but now we learn the Bryce is going to come out not this way. On the second line, on Vahatani, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Dvarim ha-dvarim, Eile ha-dvarim, Eile lametet malachot shnemer l'moshe b'sinai. So Rebbe teaches that there's a remez in the Torah for the lametet malachot. It says by Malachat Shabbos, it says, Eile dvarim ha-shet tziva Hashem, I think. So dvarim, things, would be two. Ha-dvarim means three. And then Ela, the gematria of Ela is 36, right? Lamed is 30, Hey is 5, and the Aleph is 1. So 35 and 1 is 36, and then Devarim is 3. So it's 39. So he says, those are Lametet Malachot that were said Moshe B'Sinai. And why would the Torah be teaching me that I have a reverence Lametet Malachot? So the implication is that that's what I max out at Lametet Malachot. In other words, if I forget the Malachot are prohibited on Shabbos, and I remember today is Shabbos, I cannot be chayav more than 39 Korbanot Chatat. But that only works if I cannot be chayav, I'm not chayav for a total of makamav. If I can be chayav for a total of makamav, I can be chayav, 10,000, korbanot on Shabbos. So here we see Rebbe is the one who teaches that to me. So it sounds like, so you had this whole pshat about with, that Rebbe says you're chayav shtayim, but be chayav shtayim in that case with the house would mean he's chayav a total of makamav. It doesn't seem like he holds that way. So the fourth line, Amar li Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says to Rav Chana, he says, Mara ha matni lo v'kashle derebi aderebi. You learn the statement of Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel that Rebbe says you're chayav too on going on the statement in the Brisa where about the Rishus Rab, Rishus Rab, Rishus Yachib be'emtza. Anan, as Rabbi Yudamar Nina la, v'lo kashlan. We learn that the statement of Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel related not to Rebbe, but Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and Rabbi Yehuda is a different Tana. So related to a Tal Lachato by Rabbi Yehuda, and then we don't have any problems. And here's the way we learned it. The Tanya is line 6 on Sadi Zanu Beis. The Tanya, Rishuta Yachid, Rishuta Rabim. If a person transfers an object from Rishuta Yachid to Rishuta Rabim, via Var Arba Amot, let's say I throw an object from Rishuta Yachid to Rishuta Rabim, via Var Arba Amot Rishuta Rabim. So again, I'm in the Rishuta Yachid, I throw an object into the Rishus HaRabim, and the object goes, penetrates the Rishus HaRabim by Dalet Amot. So it goes into the Rishus HaRabim, and continues on for Dalet Amot, let's say 6 feet in the Rishus HaRabim, and then it lands. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev HaChachamim Potrim. So the Tana of the Brai says that Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm Chayev, and we'll have to clarify what he means, and Chachamim are Poter. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. So concerning that case, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Mechayev Haya Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, not Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev for two Malachot. You're Chayev for the Malacha because you transferred from the Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim. And then you're Chayev also for being Mavir, or not Mavir, but for the ball be going Dalet Amos to the Rishus Rabim. He says, Achat Mishum Hotzah, Achat Mishum Havara. It is Mavir. So one for Hotzah and one for Havara. Just 1 minute. So that's working with the idea of kluta. In other words, he's holding from kluta that once it's surrounded by the air, it's like munach. So it enters the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim. Now it's resting in the Rishus HaRabim. Then it continues on for Dalet Amot. Now it rests again. And then there's like an Akira and another Hanacha. That's the way we're saying. Okay, I got you, Fern. I saw the look. Okay, now the Gemara says, the Isakadaitach, Charehu de Mechayev, if you would say, again, the Brisa just says that Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev, and the Chachamim say you're Patur. So what's the alternative explanation? Rabbi Yehuda says I'm Chayev once, and the Chachamim say I'm totally off the hook. He says, Mechlad Rabbanan Patri Legamre, Ha'apikla Mirshud Yachid Rishud Rabim. But how could that be the case? Because I'm throwing an object from Rishud Yachid Rishud Rabim, I got to be Chayev for something. So the only logical explanation, the way Rabbi Yehuda and name of Shmuel are saying, is that Rabbi Yehuda means you're Chayev two, And the Chachamim say you're Chayev one. All right. So if that's the correct pshat, all our problems are solved because we've explained the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Shmuel, and life is a lot better. So the next 20 lines are going to say all our problems are not solved. All right. Let me pause for 1 minute and just to see if anybody's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did. How's everybody doing? Anybody got questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up, Fern?
Can you summarize this?
All right. So the idea, we learned one machloket in the Gemara between Rebbe and the Chachamim, they're on Amud Aleph. That was a person's in Rishus HaRabim, he throws to the other Rishus HaRabim, Rishus Yachid in the middle. So Rebbe says, I'm Chayev, and Chachamim say, I'm not. So the way we understood that is that Rebbe holds, I'm Chayev for two Malachot, and the Chachamim hold, And the Chachamim are potrim, l'chora the Chachamim would say I'm totally off the hook, because I'm doing l'mala me'asara tfachim, so I'm totally off the hook. But Rebbe holds I'm chayav for two. That's what he means. So the only way Rebbe would say I'm chayav for two is if he holds that I'm chayav for a toldah b'makom av, because one is hachnas and one's hotzah. Hachnas is the toldah, hotzah is the av. So, but we know Rebbe doesn't hold from chayav toldah b'makom av. So if that's the case, so Rebbe only holds I'm chayav once. They hold I'm not chayav once. And Rebbe holds that it's that I'm chayav. It's we view it as like resting on Shus Yachid because it's makura. It's makura. All right. Now, so then the Gemara says that Rav Yosef says we learned the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel not concerning Rebbe but concerning the town of Rebbe Yehuda. So put that on one side. So the next issue we got into was a person is throwing an object from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Arabim. So it penetrates the Rishus Arabim and goes Dalet Amos to Rishus Arabim, and then it lands. So we think the pshat is that Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel says that Rebbe Yehuda holds Yechayv too. One, he holds from Kluta. So once it enters Rishus Arabim, it's Kluta. Now I did an act of Hotza'a, right? And then when it continues another Dalet Amos, I do another act, and that's Ha'avara. And the Chachamim hold them only Chayiv one because they don't hold from Kluta. So the one is I'm transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Arabim. That's what they hold. Okay, that's where we're at. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, now let's go further. Now, okay, so we're on the 10th line down on Sadi Zayin Amid Beis. Everybody with me? So the Gemara says to me, Mai, who says that what we said is true? Now, give me 1 second. Right. Mimai. Dilma Leolame Malach, Rabbi Yehuda Charahu de Machayev. I could argue that Rabbi Yehuda says I'm only Chayev for not two, but for one. Rabbanan Patri Lagamre. And the Chachamim say I'm totally off the hook. So we couldn't anticipate the case. What was it? I'm throwing from Rishus Yachid, Rishus Arabim. What ostensible logic could the Chachamim say that I'm totally off the hook for that case? So he says, the Behechi Mashkachat law, Yon Da Amar Adinafkale the Rishus Arabim, Tanuach. That I say my intent, in other words, I'm articulating my intent when I throw the ball, my intent is that the ball should come to rest as soon as it enters the Rishus Arabim. He says, so when the ball went further, that was not my intent. Now, again, this is like you, Robert, right? So with the Malachot, I have the action and the intent, right? The mens rea and the actus reus. So here, remember we had earlier, remember by Hotza'a, remember the person... He's got the object in front of him, and he intends it in the back of him, and slips behind him. Remember, he wasn't chayiv because he intended to do shmir ma'ula, and it became a shmir b'chuta. So I'm only chayiv if I do the malacha according to my intent. So here, the chami uvaha kamifliki, the Rabbi Yehuda savar, it means kluta kamasha huncha. Rabbi Yehuda holds kluta. So my intent got fulfilled. As soon as it enters the airspace, it did come to rest in the Rishus Arabim. He says, so that's why I'm Chayav 1, because that's my Machshava. So it's legally it came to rest in the Rishus Arabim as soon as it entered the airspace. Rabbanan Savar, lo amrin in Kluta, Kamash Uncha. I'm saying, I don't hold from Kluta. He says, v'lo itabidale Machshavato. Aval, I told the B'makamav, lo Machayav Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe Rabbi Tana Rabbi Yehuda is not Machayav a told the B'makamav. That's what we want to say. He's Chayav a told the B'makamav. Maybe that's not the case. So the Gemara says, "Lo saka daitach." I would not think that this is the pshat. Okay, let me just take a look. Give me 1 second. 1 second. Right. Okay. Let's see further. So he says, "Lo saka daitach." The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Mosif et Ashoved v'hamadakdek. Now we're trying to prove that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's Mechayiv a told of Makamav. That's what we're after. We want to try to prove that he holds that Mechayiv a told of Makamav. If he's Chayiv a told of Makamav, then we can say that Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, that statement is going on that, and then everything is good. He says, the Gemara says, the Tani Rabbi Yehuda Mosif et a Shoveid a Medakdek. Shoveid and Medakdek are malachot that relate to the weaving process. So Shoveid is... when he says he's lining up the warp threads with the rod. In other words, that's when I have the warp threads. Remember, I line up the loom. I have all the warp threads set up. So then I separate the threads from one another. He says, and then he says, a medaktik. Medaktik is I beat the garment after I've woven it. So everything like is down. So Amrulo, the Chami says to Rabbi Yehuda, Shoveid harehu b'chal mesach. Shoveid is included in the malacha of Mesach. Mesach, remember, was when you put the threads, I think, through the heddles, like they had like these things. He says, Midakdek harehu b'chlal oreg, and then beating it down is included with oreg. So my love, davdinu tarvayu b'hadei adade. Now, is it not that he did, doesn't mean simultaneously, but he did them all together. In other words, we think the pshat is, we think that these two things, i.e. shoveit and medakdek, we think shoveit and medakdek are toldot. We think they're toldot. And Rabbi Yehuda, we think, is mechayev. In other words, so even if I do the weaving process and I do the shoveit and the medakdek, we think Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev for the toldot of a makomav. That's what we think. And then our problems are solved. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that? Dilma, now here, the Bach changes it, and it's very helpful the way the Bach changes it, and that's what I'm going to go with. If you look on the side, he says, Mimai, Dilma, li olamei malach, Rabbi Yehuda told the makom av lo mechayev. Maybe he says, you're not chayev. Uvaha kamiflagi. And the point of dispute is as follows, Rabbi Yehuda sabar hani avo ninu. Maybe it's not, Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not chayev at told the makom av. Rabbi Yehuda holds these are also avot. Rabbi Yehuda holds there are not 39 avot malachot. There are 41 avot malachot. And that's what he's saying. He says, Rabbanan sabri hani toldot ninu. Come and hold their toldot. He says, Teda de katani Rabbi Yehuda mosif. That says Rabbi Yehuda adds on. He says, I amrit b'shlema avot, my mosif, mosif avot. So if I says avot, so he's adding on more avot. Makes sense, the language. Eli Ami toldot, if I say it's toldot, so my mosif, what's mosif? What does mosif mean? All right, we're almost through this. So in the end, we were not able to prove that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev toldot makomav. So we're leaving this with a little of a difficulty. So we have the statement of Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. So it's either Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel said that Rebbe holds the Yerchayev too, and then that would mean that Rebbe is mechayev told makomav, or the statement is going on Rebbe Yehuda in a different machloket, and then he would also have to be mechayev told makomav. But we're running into problem with both of them. All right, now Itmar Nami, it was stated as well. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu Lochiv Rebbe Yehuda Elachat. Rabbi Rav Yosef also say that Rebbe Yehuda in the Brisa, when he's throwing from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim, right? That was the Brisa. Wait. Right. And it went right from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim, and it goes Dalet Amod. The Rabbi Yehuda is only Chayev one. So that doesn't, you know, steam moist with the idea that it's Toldot Makomav. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Amali Rabina the Ravashi. Now, Rabina said to Ravashi, Ulamai Desalika Daitin Meikara, the Machayev Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Shtayim. The way we thought initially, though we rejected it, the Rabbi Yehuda was Mechayev Shtayim, because he says you're Chayev for Hotzah, and then you're Chayev for Mavir. Ilahaka Kabay Law, Lahaka Lo Kabay Law. Ilahaka Kabay Law, Lahaka Lo Kabay Law. How could he possibly be Chayev too? If he intends to go to point A, it goes to point A. Intends to go to point B, it goes to point B. In other words, he didn't have both thoughts in his mind. How many thoughts can he have in mind? So he had in mind, I want it to be come to rest as soon as it enters the Rishus HaRabim. And so it's Kluta, fine. But he didn't intend to be Ma'avir in the Rishus HaRabim. So how could, under any circumstances, even though we rejected it, how could Rabbi Yehuda say he's Chayev too? So he says, Amar Lei. So Ravashi said to him, Ba'omer, Komakom Shtir Tzitanuach, that he says, he's articulating his intent. Wherever this object wants to come to rest, it should rest. So I leave it in the object's mind. It means whatever happens, I'm happy with it. So then that's the case ostensibly that it could be chayev too. Okay, that was a difficult sugya. Now, I know it's not easy listening, but it's harder preparing, and I can tell you saying it over. All right, so the basic idea was we spoke about you're in the Rishus HaRabim, you throw it in, you're in Rishus HaYachid, you throw it in the Rishus HaRabim, it goes Dala Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi uses your Chayev, Chamisa your Patur. So when Rabbi uses your Chayev, does it mean Chayev 1 or Chayev 2? So Chayev 1 just means I'm Chayev for taking from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. And then in which case Chamisa would say not Chayev at all. But if Chayev 2, so then Rabbi Yehuda would hold on Chayev 2. One is from taking Rishus HaRabim. One is being Mavir Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Chamim hold, I'm only Chayev. And then he holds the Kluta. And the Chamim hold, no, I'm only, they don't hold from Kluta. I'm only Chayev for taking from the Rishus HaYachid, the Rishus HaRabim. But if I say the other way around, that Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev one, I'm coming home not chayev at all, why would I not be chayev at all? So the Gemara says, I'm not chayev at all because my intent was not fulfilled. I intended to do A, I ended up doing B. So the intent to do A, I ended up doing B, so I'm not chayev for that. Okay, I think that's that piece. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yeah, I don't understand the concept. How can something that's moving through the air, if you throw it, it's moving, how can that be considered at rest? It seems that it's defying the law of physics.
The Talmud has its own schemata, as the Rav once said. It has its own concepts, which are different than Western concepts. The halacha has different concepts, just like law has different concepts. How do you say res ipsa loquitur?
No, but wait a minute.
So, okay.
Not geographic. It's scientific.
We're dealing halacha. We're not dealing physics. We're saying conceptually, since it's surrounded by the reshus, I view it as if it rested, as if it came to rest. This is the way the halacha works. It's a concept. Anyway, now, who else had a question?
I have a question. David. What's up? So are Av Melacha and Toldos part of the count in Tariag Mitzvot when you count 613? Or only
No. It's Lotasa Komalacha is included.
So each Av Melacha, that's all this Lotasa Komalacha is one.
Right. All right? Okay. All right, let's go on. All right. Now, all right, so let's take a look. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom on Sadi Zion Amud Beis, okay? You see, you can see how these sugyas, like, we're just doing it simply. You see how they really, like, with the mind, they cut. It's like all these difficult concepts when you start teasing it further apart. What do the Chazal mean? You can see how, like, you can really get into this. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Now, the Gemara says, Nitkavin lezrok shmon v'zrak arba. Let's say I intended to throw an object 8 amod in the Rishus HaRabim, and instead I throw it dalet amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Harei katav shein mishimon. The Gemara assumes that I've done a malacha, because why should that be different than the case if I intended to write the name Shimon and I only wrote Shin Mem? So that's shein mishimon. The Gemara says that Mefurish later on our Masechta. If I write two letters, I'm Chayev. And even if I intended to write a long name, Shin Mem, Ayin Vav Nun. I intended to write five letters. And instead I wrote two letters, I'm Chayev for the Malacha Ksiva on Shabbos. So the Gemara assumes that the same thing would be Zrika. I intend to throw something 8 Amot. Instead I throw Dalet Amot. So Dalet Amot is a part of 8 Amot. So I would be Chayev. That's what the Gemara thinks. He says, "Nitkavin lezrok arba v'zrach shmon amahu." What if I intend to throw dalet amot instead? I throw it 8 amot. So what would be the case there? So me and Rina and Ha'apiklei, do I say sof kol sof? I, you know, was mavir and the Rishus HaRabim, O Dilma heichet debay halonach, or where I intended it to go, it didn't go. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Belav hainu da amrle Rabina l'Rabashi." Isn't this similar to what we just had a few lines ago, with what Rabina said to Ravashi? Rabina asked Ravashi, "You know, how could a person theoretically be chayev for hotzaa and mavir when he throws from the Rishus Yach, the Rishus Rabim? He didn't intend to do both." He says, "Ba'amrle ba'omer komakom shtirtzet tanuach." He said, my intent is wherever it comes to rest. That's why I want it to rest. So we think he's saying that indeed I'd be chayiv in both cases. Utka amart, harei katav shemi shimon. I'm not saying right. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry I made a mistake. Give me one second. Right, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. So in other words, over there he had no specific goal. So that's why he was chayev. Here he has a specific goal. He intends to throw dalet amot or 8 amot. So that cuts towards patur. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Udka Amar, so in both cases then, so we think neither case you should be chayev. So if I intend to throw it 8 amot, it goes 4 amot, I shouldn't be chayev. I intend to throw it dalet amot, it goes 8 amot, I should not be chayev, because in neither instance was my intent fulfilled. Udka Amar, Rei Katav Shemi Shimon, but we said we had the analogy. Wasn't that the same as writing two letters of a big name? Why is writing two letters of a five-letter name different than throwing you know, dalan amo when he intends to throw eight amo. So he says, "Mi dami, how is that comparable?" Hatam kamalo katib shem lo michtiv le Shimon. In order to write the name Shimon, I have to write Shin Mem. I can't write Shimon without writing Shin Mem. So invariably, my intent is to write those two letters, without a doubt, because I can't write the whole name without writing the two letters. So that is my intent. So if I stop after two letters, I'm chayiv, because I did have intent to write those two letters. He says, Hacha kamalo zarik arba lo mizdarki le tmane. Here, is my intent to throw dalan amot? In other words, if I intend to throw eight amot, is it my intent to throw dalan amot and then another dalan amot? In other words, each is a separate act. In other words, my intent is to throw eight amot. So is dalan amot included in that? No, because my intent is to do an act of eight amot. So the Gemara wants to say that if I intend to throw eight amot, I throw four. Or I intend to throw four, I throw eight. In either one of those cases, I'm not chayiv because that was not my intent. All right? But if I intend just that the ball should land wherever it lands, then I'd be chayiv. But with the name, it's different. The name, I intend to write a certain number of letters. I wrote less letters, but I'm still chayav for that. All right, let me just do a few lines. That'll be it. Okay, two lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, Azorek mi Rishud Rabim Rishud Rabim. If a person throws from Rishud Rabim Rishud Rabim, Rishud Yachid Be'emtza, Arba Amod Chayav. So here this is a different nuance. Means like this. So again, I'm going from Rishud, not the case we had in the Mishnah. Rishud Rabim to Rishud Rabim and Rishud Yachid in the middle. Now, this Tana does not hold from Kluta, but I throw two Amot in Rishud Rabim on one side and two Amot in Rishud Rabim on the other side. So you have it. So in other words, I'm in Rishud Rabim A, I'm throwing to Rishud Rabim B, and there's Rishud Yachid in the middle, but that's the red herring. That's the red herring, the Rishud Yachid. So I throw two Amot in Rishud Rabim A, and two amos in Rishus Rabim B. So if I add up the both, I get dalar amot. I get dalar amot. That would be the malacha. So Tanur Azorim Rishud Rabim Rishud Yachid Be'emtza Arba Amot Chayev. So the Gemara says, Pachot me Arba Amot Patur. If it adds up less than dalar amot Patur, the top line Tzadi Chidam Aleph. My Kamash Balan, what is the this is the Bryce, right? What is the Bryce teaching me? Ha Kamash Balan, Rishuyot Mitztarfot, that if I did two amot here and two amot there, they can, you know, collect. I can add on to it. They aggregate. He says, Udlo Amrin and Kluta Kamashahuncha. And we don't say Kluta. We're not going to say Kluta, you know, with the Rishus Yachid. So that's the Tanis holding. We don't hold from Kluta. So that was the daf today. This was a big, difficult daf. All right. Let me see if I have anything else. Any questions, comments, or thoughts?
Thank you. I'm going to Kirkei.
I have a question.
Okay, what's the question?
It's kind of an insolent one. Is the are we talking about the essence of throwing or the essence of being a prime mover of the ball into the air? If it's the latter of the two, I have a question about juggling, the art of which I just learned is 4,000 years old, which came from Egypt. Right. So does the Gemara talk about that at all?
So I don't know if the Gemara speaks about. I think the Gemara does mention another instance that different chachamim, right? By the Simcha Space of Shoeva, the Gemara mentions that different chachamim would juggle. In Achinami, it mentions it there. I don't know if it mentions it in reference to the Malach of Shabbos. Now, by Shabbos, so if I'm in the Rishus Yachid, so it's fine to juggle. If I'm in the Rishus Rabim, I don't think I should be doing that lechachila, making an Akira, but I don't think I'm doing a Malacha. If I'm just standing there, it depends how high it would go. I don't think it would add up to a malacha. I don't think it would add up to a malacha, but I'd have to look into it a little bit more. Okay, any other questions?
I have a question, yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
All right, so David, then Malka, then that's it. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so I'm trying to throw something eight amot, but I turn out I'm weak. Today I didn't eat my breakfast and only goes six amot, or it only goes
right.
Four amot.
Right.
So you know, I wouldn't be over. I mean, my intention was eight. But
well, you don't get the mitzvah award for doing it, but you're not chai of a korban chatat if you do it.
If you don't get exactly eight, suppose you get eight and a half, you get eight and a quarter.
It means what was your intent fulfilled? If you had a specific intent, did it land where you intended it to go?
I'm trying to get a target.
I'm saying if your intent is not that it should a specific target, but land in a certain general area, so was your intent fulfilled? Or if your intent is I don't care where it lands, and then your intent was fulfilled.
Target is exactly eight amot, and I get seven and a half. I'm not over.
Wait, what was your intent?
My intent is to hit the target, which is eight amot.
Eight.
Away.
Hey, to hit. To, well, you know.
You mean you're throwing a dart? Yeah, I'm throwing a dart. I'm throwing a rock to hit something.
Well, the only thing is, if your intent is just to hit that target, well, the thing is like this. Like, let's say it's a little complicated. You see, let's say I have a target. So your intent, I mean, you're not hitting the bullseye on the target, but you're hitting the same distance you intended to go, right? In other words, let's say the target is lined up horizontally. You know what I mean? Your intent is fulfilled, but you get the idea. The main idea is if your intent is fulfilled, you're chayiv. If it's not fulfilled, you're not chayiv.
Okay.
What's up, Malka?
So now we're just going to intent. Do you know how people have motion sensors for their lights? And
right.
So the question becomes, if you know there's a motion sensor, I've always tried to avoid it.
That's
but
good.
Now you're saying if it's not my intent to have the light turn on,
Then do I have to worry about it? You're mixing kasha with mun. You're really mixing kasha with mun. So remember we talked about...
I don't need either of those.
So you don't need the sensor either. Remember it's psikresha. We said if I know something will definitely happen, so I'm chayev for it regardless of my intent. If I open the refrigerator door and I know the light will go on, so even though I don't intend to put the light on, I'm chayev. So the same thing with the sensors. The sensors are a little complicated because they are all over the place, but the best way is definitely to avoid them if you can. Okay, that's it.
I have one quick question. You brought this up before.
Yeah, what?
Why this particular malacha were they so obsessed with it? There's 39. This one's going on forever.
Remember, I said that. Were you here at the beginning of the shiur today?
I was.
Yeah. Do you remember? I said that hotzah is a malacha gerua. It's an inferior malacha. That all the other malacha, you change the object, you change your environment. This one, the object remains the same. So just that alone is telling you this is a more complex malacha. What constitutes the malacha? In other words, I'm not doing anything to the object. So what is the malacha? So that's why I think there's more.
In other words, it wasn't that they thought it was more significant. They thought it needed more explanation.
It does need, not that they thought, it does need more explanation. Okay, let me stop the recording. Let me do this. Okay.